Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
It is a reckless speculation Thursday. On the eve, you could say, not till Monday, but it's basically the eve of NFL free agency season here. So we bring in our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. Scoops here every Tuesday and Thursday on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd and the Score North YouTube channel. Doogie, how are you feeling here? We're probably not going to talk to you until maybe. It's possible Kirk has made a decision between now and the next time we talk to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, hey, by the way, happy Reckless Speculation Thursday. Good to see you, Phil. Good to see you, Judd. Hello, Declan. Always good to see you as well. I alluded to that on Tuesday, Phil. I said, hey, when I join you the following Tuesday, March 12th, we usually record, you know, mid to late morning. That, yes, I would not be surprised whatsoever if we have some Kirk Cousins news. I do think whatever is going to happen, and I get it, a lot of the signs point to him landing in Atlanta, but whatever is going to happen is going to happen pretty darn fast.
On that note then, Dukes, have we heard any more about where the Vikings stand here? Because the only intelligence that I can glean is that the Vikings still are not going to move off of whatever they've come around to with Kirk. And so Kirk is sitting out there waiting. I feel like in the past couple of days, especially 2 days ago, we definitely saw some salvos fired as far as I'm going to leave. And it seems like the Vikings, I think more from a front office standpoint, are standing pat. Have you heard more about where that stands? Because, you know, again, Dukes, if they don't get this done by Tuesday, he's gone, because they're not going to double scoop this and pay him a $28.5 million dead cap hit and then give him a contract. I think Tuesday is a drop dead date for the Vikings and Kirk Cousins.
Well, yeah, I mean, logically speaking, as you just laid out, I mean, you're not doing a contract with Kirk on March 14th or March 15th after absorbing that $28.5 million dead cap hit. So yeah, we're talking about getting a deal done, if a deal were to get done, before that triggers. And so, no, I've not heard necessarily more. Just still continuing to hear that the Vikings have, for lack of a better way of putting it, have drawn a line in the sand, that they're not willing to go above that. Now, exactly what that means, what sorts of guarantees are they willing to give him in 25? I'm telling you, nothing in 26. And I think he can get that from Atlanta. Like, I think Atlanta's willing to guarantee him money for multiple years, and I would not be shocked if it bleeds into 2026. I just don't foresee a scenario where that takes place here. So what he told us in mid-January, Vikings locker cleanup day, that, hey, structure is most important to him. What he meant by that, guarantees, you know, what sort of, you know, stability does he have for multiple years, no trade power, stuff like that, assurances, right? Like, that isn't going to all happen here. Yes, they would like him back, but 100% at their price, nothing beyond that.
My educated guess and educated speculation, somewhat educated speculation,
reckless speculation,
is that it's still, if you know, whatever the gap is between the Vikings and Kirk, that it's much more about structure and length. That I think there's sort of two ways they could be apart, right? Vikings are offering, and I'm making these numbers up, Vikings are offering $33 million, but he wants $50 million a year, right? I think it's less about like the average annual value and the money, and more about the length of commitment. And this is just speculation again here. But if that's the case, I don't know that the Vikings are going to budge a whole lot on committing for 2 or 3 years, especially if they now have oogly eyes for JJ McCarthy and You know, Michael Penix threw the ball really well. I don't know that there's a scenario where the Vikings, unless the Wilfs come in and say, veto, it's 3 years, get it done, right? Well, I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah,
I think the Falcons might.
Yeah, I mean, my sense is they haven't done that to this point. So why all of a sudden tomorrow into the weekend, into Monday, would that change on the Wilfs front? Right? I mean, can we look at them not getting a deal done last year? Was that truly the telltale sign that maybe we should have read between the lines then, that when a deal didn't get done a year ago, that this was always trending toward this time, him leaving, that a deal wasn't Absolutely. Going to get done, whatever Kevin O'Connell wants to spew publicly. And hey, I take him at face value. Trust me, all the time, Journalism 101, why is this person lying to me? I think he's being genuine. Kevin O'Connell wants Kirk Cousins back. I truly believe that. But the fact that a deal didn't get done a year ago, maybe we should have always come to the realization, hey, he was going to be a goner.
We've also now reached the point in Kirkwatch 2024.
Reckless speculation.
Where Purple Daily is getting emails from listeners and friends of the show. I've got to be really careful with it. I don't want to hang anyone out to dry here. Emails with very, very educated speculation placing Kirk Cousins in Atlanta this week at some point earlier this week.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, whether true now, Florio, or not.
Florio kind of hinted at that too. So
yeah,
it's definitely coming from some different spaces.
He has previous marches in the Atlanta area, right? Because
right.
of Julie's family connection.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, entirely possible. I don't know where Kirk is this very second.
But I feel confident.
Is it logical
saying,
to think
he was in Atlanta?
He could be
this
in
week.
Atlanta, the Atlanta area. Sure, I mean that makes sense. Absolutely.
And why wouldn't he be? Like this whole tampering thing is the biggest joke about how oh well then the Vikings are going to get another draft pick back. No, you're not. This has been going on for a thousand years. But Dukes, back to your point. I think we did give this proper credibility last year because I thought the most important thing was in an OTA. It was the first OTA that Kirk talked after. And I asked him then, I said, are there possibilities for contract negotiations before, you know?
I do recall that, yes. Yeah, it was you above everybody else that pushed him on that, yes.
And he said no. He said, he basically said no, we will resume this. And I think he said March. I think he used the word March. So with that being said, I think we did give it proper credibility. I think we didn't know for sure if he was bluffing or not, but he certainly didn't seem like that. But doesn't it feel to you like once Kirk feels he's been disrespected, that's basically it lots of times? Like at every turn, at every step of the way, previously with Kirk and Purple, he was respected. 3-year contract, extension, right? So I feel like this is sort of replicated in some ways in very different contractual forms, by the way, because the Vikings took care of him. The Washington situation, which is, oh, you're going to franchise me? I'm going to bet on myself and be franchised twice. And now you're screwed and I'm gone. So I think that we actually did give this the proper respect, but he did make it very clear. Like he did not lie about that. He essentially said, we didn't get it done and now it's tabled indefinitely. A lot of guys might be like, oh, you know, if something comes up, at least before the season starts.
Okay,
like the ordinary response is, the season starts, I'm done. But hey, if we get something done in training camp. So I think you're exactly right. But I think that there is a good chance that if the Wilfs were going to, as Phil said, step in, it was back then.
Yes, that's why I just don't have any sort of sense that the Wilfs are going to step in here in the next 72 to 96 hours and somehow change their stance. That's fair what you just laid out, Judd. You know, maybe we collectively got skewed a little bit the way he elevated his play in October, just thinking, hey, he's playing at a pretty darn high level. You know, then the Achilles tear happens. And I told you in that moment, like we chatted on October 31st, right? That Tuesday after that Sunday, October 29th injury, we chatted. I said, hey, I think there's a better chance today than there was Sunday morning, October 29th, that he returns because I just didn't read the market really well in that moment. Like, I just wasn't sure that some team would blow him away. Well, at this point, it's pretty clear that Atlanta, and hey, he may have multiple offers to choose from, but certainly Atlanta is preparing to blow him away.
Yeah. It'll be so interesting just to take a step, say, Kirk and Atlanta consummate this thing. Boom. Monday, it's a done deal. Vikings can send out their farewell. I'm sure they're already, if it's in motion, I'm sure they're already planning the Instagram, you know, the press release, all this stuff.
Falcons at Vikings next season.
Yeah, that's another fun tentacle.
Oh, absolutely. But prime time. It's US Bank Stadium, right? I mean, they play next year. I'm not screwing that up. It's not in Atlanta, right, Declan? Here?
It's at home, right?
Yeah.
It's at home.
Okay, good. Yeah. Prime
what
time
direction
for sure.
do they go at quarterback? I know that drafting a quarterback becomes obvious. Do they then turn to like a Tannehill? I don't think they make a play for a Justin Fields. I don't think they sign Baker Mayfield. I think they go and get a stopgap Jacoby Brissett, Tannehill. But if they do move on Monday, what's your sense for what? I'm sure they have a plan B ready to rock and roll next week. They have to, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, they have discussed multiple contingency plans. Sure. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, now I could see Brissett ending up in New England. But yes, I mean, he is somebody they had some trade interest in last year. So yes, he is a guy they have discussed internally. Heck, they've discussed, my understanding is Baker Mayfield. I just think Baker ends up back in Tampa. Justin Fields, I haven't heard it. You know, I mentioned that on Tuesday. I haven't heard anything in the last 48 hours to suggest that what I spewed on Tuesday has now changed. So Justin Fields would surprise me. The Sam Darnold steam is legit.
I think that's the one.
Yeah. I think that's
the one.
You know, as legit as any. Now, hey, Zach Wilson, right? They've done some homework there. You know, what Rich Eisen offered on Trey Lance. Like, I wouldn't dismiss that as well. I've not heard Tannehill, not suggesting like no way, no how, but I've not heard that, Phil. I think Sam Darnold, though, is a top, you know, if we're making some sort of bridge quarterback list, I think Sam is somewhere near the very top.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Fans are going to hate that, by the way, because he's been deemed a bust and he's been a big interception guy. But he was a former very high draft pick with a very talented arm. And he is it's crazy. He's still only 26 years old, Sam Darnold.
And you still try and draft one. Like,
of course.
I think it's Darnold. And then you try and get that Chargers pick at 5. And pray to God that if the three quarterbacks go first, that the fourth pick and the Cardinals pass, and then you get the Chargers pick, and McCarthy goes there to you.
Yes, I mean, that would not surprise me whatsoever. I mean, you know, when Kwesi identifies something he wants,
Dukes,
yeah,
that the Giants would try and take McCarthy. So you're going to almost, I think as the draft gets closer, it's going to become very clear. You're going to have to jump the Giants.
All right. Well, I mean, heck, they're already giving up on Daniel Jones. I get it, right? God bless Ed Donatell, right? If you're Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, amazing. But yes, I mean, that wouldn't shock me whatsoever. So I get it, Judd. Yeah. I mean, you need to hit, you know, 5 with LA, jump the Giants at 6, perhaps even get up to 4 with Arizona, or maybe even 3, New England. I mean, you know, when Kwesi identifies something he wants, he's going to make every effort, right? There was some interest in moving up last year for Anthony Richardson. So he has had chats before about moving up. So, yes, I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. I mean, the way we're talking, like, it's starting to make more and more sense. They may not acknowledge, like, saying the word rebuild, but it's like time, right? You can still pay Justin Jefferson. You can still plan on paying Christian Darrisaw, but like create all this cap space a year from now. You know, take your so-called lumps. I mean, you're trying to win every game. Maybe Sam Darnold, you know, has a Baker Mayfield-esque year this year, if he is indeed the guy, right? That you can still make a run. You will attempt to make every run that you can. But hey, let's set ourselves up for like this very advantageous spot 1 year from now. Let's not do anything too crazy. Now, hey, I've heard them attached to some of these bigger name defensive free agents like Christian Wilkins. There absolutely is interest. Like, I'm telling you that right now. There is Vikings interest in Christian Wilkins. Now, hey, my guess is there's about 10 teams interested in Christian, but certainly the Vikings are interested
be a great
in Christian Wilkins. L'Jarius Sneed, There was the report on Wednesday from USA Today attaching the Vikings to Snead. I am told there is legitimacy to that report, but I was also told the Vikings have not been the most aggressive so far in those talks with the Chiefs, but there has been some interest shown. So the Vikings seemingly are doing their due diligence on these bigger name defensive free agents, but I still think there's something to be said about having all sorts of flexibility from a cap perspective 1 year from now. That's why I've been saying it for weeks. Like, I can't foresee a scenario at this point where Danielle Hunter is back. Like, I just don't think you're paying Danielle Hunter monster money on Monday.
And Dukes,
or committing monster money on Monday, signing him later in the week.
Right. And here's something to consider. So, like, the Vikings have some cap space this year for this particular 2024 season. They've got $32 million in effect cap space, $37 million in total cap space. So they can do some stuff. But the fact that you mentioned 2025, right now, today, they have the fifth most cap space for 2025, $121 million in effective space. That's before a Harrison Smith contract visitation. Now, of course, it's also before a Jefferson contract, but they have a boatload of 2025 cap space, which means they can actually start spending it next week. Like, Christian Wilkins, you could bring him in. He's 20.
You're right. You could do something like that. Yes.
Big signing bonus.
That's a good point.
Push that money
yes.
into 25, 26. Mm-hmm. So they could get splashy next week with the cap space
right.
they have in 2025.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. That's probably why, you know, what I'm hearing about them fishing around on some of these bigger name defensive free agents, you're right, where you structure the contract as such, where, yes, that you could do that now, right, because of the great spot you're in 2025 cap-wise.
And I think if you sign Darnold, which sounds completely plausible, and then you trade up and take a quarterback, I think the fan base is super excited.
Oh, I
like,
agree.
If you were to parade just Darnold out there and say, yeah, he's going to start for us, the fan base would be like, what the hell are you talking about? But if you get J.J. McCarthy, if you get a guy in the back end there and it's a competition of sorts, I think it's a win-win. And I don't think it would take long, to your point, because rebuild's not the right word. It's almost a reset opportunity. But like, to your point, if you can add Wilkins now, you get Jefferson back, you draft a quarterback, and then you potentially go into 2025 with all that cap space, Dukes. You're talking about now basically being able to probably hit the ground running in 25.
Yes.
So like your rebuild or retool might be 1 year.
I mean, of all the paths they could take, that one would be the one I would bet on. Put it that way.
Dukes, is there any real interest with them potentially going to the free agent market and trying to upgrade their running back position? I know the Saquon Barkley steam could be something. There's Tony Pollard out there. There's actually a decent amount of running backs. Joe Mixon, I believe, also was released by the Bengals or is planning to be released. Are they going to spend? I know, it won't be number one priority, but is running back on their list to try to address in free agency?
Yes, Declan, I foresee them signing a running back now. You know, somebody like Zach Moss, a tier two running back, somebody of that ilk is probably more likely. But like you brought up the name Tony Pollard. Austin Eckler, by the way. Like, you mean to tell me Austin Eckler wouldn't be a good fit in this offense, right, from a pass catching perspective? But like, think about what Tony Pollard did against the Vikings at US Bank Stadium a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, there's some Vikings people that remember that. Just put it this way. Like, I don't know what the price ends up being. Heck, Tony may end up back in Dallas, right? But put it this way. I'm led to believe that there are multiple fans at a very high level in Egan of Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're going to chase him. I think I would look at some of those defensive guys first. But Tony Pollard is somebody that has some fans in Egan.
Same division. Keep your eye on DeAndre Swift. Might be interested in DeAndre Swift as well.
Is this
I wouldn't dismiss that.
Fun speculation.
It's Thursday. It's a grapevine.
Very quietly, they had interest a year ago in David Montgomery before he chose Detroit.
That's right.
And, I mean, they knew the price of poker there, right? I mean, he ended up getting, about $6 million a year, right? And so, yes. I mean, I would keep an eye on the running back position, Declan. Absolutely. Right? Like all this talk of Ty Chandler at the combine, sure, but I'm not ready to say Ty is going to be the guy. Put it that way.
Hey, we got to get to the cat stuff, breaking cat news this morning. But the Vikings need a left guard. By the way, Ezra Cleveland just signed a contract back with the Jaguars. Dalton Reisner is a free agent. Now, there's a couple dudes on the market. Kevin Dotson played right guard for the Rams last year. He's the top guard on the market. He was a left guard for 3 years in Pittsburgh. There's a couple other guys. But let's start with Dalton Reisner. Are they bringing him back? Is there interest? Are they going to go in a different direction? It's a big hole to fill.
Yes, definite interest. Like, I'll give you the counterexample of that. Greg Joseph is a free agent. I just don't have steam that the Vikings have legit interest. Put it this way, the Vikings are exploring possibilities.
It's time.
At the kicker position.
It's time.
Dalton Reisner, yes, interest. Like that was verbalized in Indianapolis. Definite interest. Doesn't mean it's a done deal. Yes, he wants to be back badly, so there is clear mutual interest. But, like, are they willing to invest decent money in a guard? So the Ezra Cleveland contract, Ian Rappaport, 3 years, 28 and a half, like 14 and a half guaranteed. But oftentimes those numbers are inflated, you know, given by the agent, right? So put it this way, the Reisner people are awaiting a little bit more detail on those numbers. They're not necessarily trusting those exact numbers. But you wonder if that's some sort of comp when thinking about what it'll take to keep Reisner. Are the Vikings willing to do that for an interior offensive lineman? I'm not quite there yet, but definite interest. But I'm not like going to sit here and tell you 100%, you know, Monday afternoon we will have news that Reisner is back. I mean, he does want to speed this thing up too, by the way. He doesn't want this thing to play out for many weeks and months last year. So he is looking to sign as soon as possible. He would love to come into an agreement with somebody, hopefully the Vikings in his mind, but somebody by like Monday afternoon. I can promise you that. I'm catching up with Dalton, by the way. I'm scheduled to on Monday morning.
Ooh. Ask him what he thinks about Russell Wilson coming to the Vikings.
I haven't heard that.
It is.
I told you, Phil, of the Wilsons, like, I think Zach is more likely. I really do.
Yeah.
That would get
Vikings fans.
I'm probably good too, but I'm just saying if it's a Wilson, I think Zach is more likely than Russell. I just do.
Russell does not fit what Kevin O'Connell does offensively.
No. He fits
the locker room.
The only thing that you could justify is you get him at $1.2 million, right?
Yep.
That it's not he's completely toast. So the idea that you have a serviceable quarterback at such a low number, that's the only thing. But like schematically, in the locker room, like there's a lot of question marks there. I haven't heard it. I really haven't.
Yep. Okay. Let's get right into the rest of the scoop bag here. It's super interesting, conflicting reports from Woj and Shams this morning on Kat's meniscus. Woj is saying it's a meniscus issue. He may or may not miss games. They're trying to figure it out. Shams said it's a torn meniscus. He's out indefinitely. I don't know. Can you color in any of the ambiguity here? Kat with a knee injury is bad news. We just don't know how bad, basically.
Well, it is bad news. Remember, 2 years ago, stem cell treatment. You got one of those PRP injections.
Seven-footer.
Both knees, but certainly left knee.
We may have seen the best.
This time is a left knee issue, right? So, I mean, he's had a left knee issue previously. So my understanding is, like, a meniscus injury is a meniscus tear, but they're trying to figure out surgery versus non-surgery. So like what Woj is saying, that they're still gathering information, like from what I can gather this morning, is spot on.
Yeah.
Like it's not like the Wolves wanted, you know, heck, they try to keep a lot of things secret. But when it comes to an injury, they are pretty transparent. Like they'll put the information out as quick as possible. And so I don't think the Wolves are real happy that this information got out. They will put something out at some point here in the very, 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 very near future. But they haven't yet. But my understanding is they're trying to figure out, and this involves multiple opinions, right? It's not just Wolves doctors. There's at least one outside doctor in play here. And so they're trying to figure out surgery versus non-surgery. But bottom line, I mean, we're looking at some sort of multiple week absence. I mean, to me, the question is, could he somehow come back last couple games of the regular season, then playing game one of the playoffs? Like, that's to be determined, but like, that's what we're looking at. right? Like, he's not playing. I don't think he's playing anytime real soon, even if they avoid the surgery path. Like, it's still going to be a pretty lengthy rehab. So it just stinks. It's unfortunate news, right, Phil? Like, you can make a case. What is this, year 8 or year 9 for Cat?
Nine.
Year 9. So if you look at his total body of work here in year 9, because I'm factoring in his defense being better this year than ever before, can you make a case of the 9 seasons that Cat has played? Can you make a case this has been the best? Right? I think you can at least make the case because of the defensive angle. Right? So it just, it stinks. It's unfortunate, but that's what the Wolves are weighing. Like, we can't sit here and say definitively, like, he's out for the year. Like, it's absolutely possible he is back this season. We're just trying to figure out, because the Wolves are trying to still figure out with Cat's people, what exactly this will look like, surgery versus non-surgery.
Do we think this is a wear and tear thing that has been a problem ongoing and now has just gotten to a tipping point? Or was there an actual game or an actual sequence where this was driven to the point of where we are right now and talking about him at least potentially needing surgery?
Yeah, I wish you could see all the text messages I've sent this morning, Judd, because that was a question I've had. My sense is there wasn't one particular moment, like Monday against Portland. Right. There wasn't like one play like that we could cue up, right? Down in the TV office, I've got the full record of the game, right? That he stumbles, that you like can point to at, you know, the 4-minute mark of the second quarter. Look at that play. That's when he tore his meniscus. Like, no. Right? I mean, he's looked sluggish going back multiple games, although I thought he was pretty good in the first half against the Clippers over the weekend. But then he stunk in the second half. He wasn't good on Monday. And there's been other bouts of just, to me, just sluggish play. But my understanding is there's not one particular play that we can point at. But truthfully, I am trying to gather more information on that inquiry.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be, I mean, they can ramp up Naz Reid. They got a couple other, you know, Marcus Morris is sitting out there still. TJ Warren.
If well, TJ's going to get a chance here. Yeah.
Bubble Warren back. Bubble TJ Warren.
That would be fantastic. Would be great. I mean, he's.
Bubble Warren, that's a great nickname.
He has scored. I mean, we have to Bubble. Go back yeah, now 4 years. But yes, I mean, you know, there's a reason why TJ Warren was available on a 10-day deal.
I know.
Right now, but he is going to get an opportunity. Like Justin Jackson didn't get an opportunity. That was just to fill the quota. Right? What they had to do by league rules, sign a 14th guy. But like TJ is going to get a chance. I don't know if it comes as soon as tonight, but like pretty quick here, you'll see TJ Warren get some minutes.
Yeah. All right. What else is left in your scoop bag here, Duke? Let's go last couple minutes, rapid fire.
Sure. So Gophers basketball last night. I mean, heck, as disappointed as I've been in them since maybe the San Francisco game. I mean, certainly there were bouts of disappointment. You know, whether it was the Wisconsin game here, the game at Iowa, right? Just blowing some of these leads, the Missouri game, certainly. Although I think that was maybe a little bit before the San Francisco game, but just an overall flat effort, right? When Garcia and Hawkins literally don't score in the first half. There were 8 NBA teams in attendance last night, including Timberwolves president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly, but also the Raptors, Nets, Grizzlies, Warriors, Wizards, Clippers, Lakers, Nets. So lots of NBA personnel. Now, Khalil Ware of Indiana, probably the prize, like of all the guys on the court. And he was clearly the best player last night. Like to me, he's an NBA player. Indiana's praying he's back for another year. But Ware was the best player on the court last night. So I think NBA scouts were looking at him more than anyone else, but certainly looking at Cam Christie. What I expect on Cam Christie is this. Now, he did not play well last night, but I would not be shocked if he tests the NBA draft waters. It's not a great draft. Looks like there's some depth, but hey, like you're in the mix for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. May go to Freeman from Iowa, but you're in the mix. You're in that conversation for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Why not test the waters while keeping your college eligibility? So go through the process, get some feedback, then make a determination later on. I guess I would not be shocked if Garcia did something along those lines as well, just maintaining the college eligibility. But you think about the possibility of Ben Johnson having all these guys back, even Parker Fox. He has another year of eligibility. Like if he wants an eighth year of college, he can get an eighth year of college.
Tommy Boy plan.
Where's the Where's the money coming
from?
Pay
Cam Christie.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, where's,
I mean,
where's
guys Cam go to Christie's college for 8 years, Parker?
Yeah, so that's where NIL comes into play.
Calls,
I mean, it really does.
A lot of calls.
Right? Like, Judd, didn't you have a write that down this week, something about Cam Christie?
I didn't use it.
You didn't use it?
Because you told me to back off it.
Well, I did. I think if Cam Christie plays in college, it's for the Gophers. Like, I don't think he's transferring to another school. The question is, does some NBA team sell him on something and gives him some sort of guarantee, something, right? And he ends up, you know, staying in the draft, something like that. But at this point, until I hear otherwise, like, I haven't heard of Cam Christie transferring to another school. I just haven't. One other college basketball note, Caleb Williams, one of the best players in Division III this year from McAllister. St. Thomas among the schools with interest in the McAllister transfer guard.
Let's go. St. Thomas, nice little season in the Summit League. They got their conference tournament.
Good program, man.
Starts on Sunday night. Yeah, they're the 4 seed. They play 5 seed North Dakota State. South Dakota State the favorite, but yeah, I mean, it stinks that they're not eligible for the NCAA tournament. Like, they're good enough to win the Summit League. They really are this championship in Sioux Falls starting on Sunday. Now, I think South Dakota State probably ends up winning it, but like, they could go on a run. They could win 3 games in Sioux Falls, but unfortunately, they would have to turn down the automatic bid.
Stupid rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why? Like, why? What is
that? That's so dumb.
Just let
you got to wait. You got to wait. You got to pay your dues. Phil.
Wait for what? Anyways.
I agree. So this is year three of the 5-year waiting period.
Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday.
You got it. And hey, KJ Osborne, definitely a goner. Do not expect KJ Osborne back. Not a shocker, but don't expect him back. There is some interest in re-signing Jordan Hicks. I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. There he is. We love Dugues. Darren Doogie Wolfson. Plenty more on Purple Daily, where it is a Thor's Day. Thor Nystrom is going to join us today to check back on the J.J. McCarthy steam that he was like the first one in on that. And now everyone is. So we'll he told everyone. So we'll do a lot of that, and we'll do another kind of a mock draft and off-season simulation with Thor now that we have some more direction here. So thanks for hanging out, and happy Reckless Speculation Thursday.